Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 36 degrees, overcast, and breezy. And a reminder, today is a work day in the Sitka School District. School will not be in session today. It is Friday, November 4th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Twice in the last week, Coast Guard crews have responded to reports of small pleasure craft in distress in southeast waters. The latest incident happened Wednesday when two men aboard the 24-foot Klingit Boy 2 reported on VHF radio that they were disabled near Hoonah in 40-mile-per-hour winds and 8-foot seas. A helicopter from Sitka and a 45-foot Coast Guard boat from Juneau launched to assist the vessel. Before the response boat could get on scene, the Good Samaritan vessel Vagabond Queen arrived and began towing the Klingit Boy 2. The helicopter crew remained in the area to assist. Lieutenant James Dooley says the incident followed the rescue earlier in the week of a man aboard a sinking 22-foot pleasure boat near Cake.
Just really want to urge all mariners to pay attention to the weather, use real sound judgment before venturing out into this kind of stuff, because when something goes wrong, it can start to go wrong in a hurry.
Dooley says there were no injuries in either case. The Klingit Boy 2 was safely towed to Hoonah, about 15 miles north of where it became disabled. The vessel near Cake sank after taking on water. You can watch a Coast Guard video of the rescue near Cake on our website, kcaw.org. The city restored power yesterday afternoon to residents in Sitka's Island neighborhoods after an outage that began when an underwater cable failed on Wednesday evening. Utility Director Christopher Bruton said customers on the islands lost power Wednesday around 8:20 p.m., The undersea cable that failed runs from a switch beneath the O'Connell Bridge to Alutsky Island. He says officials sent a diver down to inspect the cable, but that the diver was unable to find anything out. There are a few other possibilities.
It could have been a defect in the cable that took this long to show up. It could have been movement across the bottom on a rock. It could have been caused by a vessel anchoring nearby and snagging the cable. Any number of issues.
Bruton said they tried to determine if any vessels were anchored in the area, but came up with no definite proof that anything was anchored. The cable is marked on nautical charts. Underwater cable is more expensive than what hangs from poles on land. Bruton says the city has a budget for emergencies and that the repairs will probably fall within that budget, but he didn't immediately have an exact dollar amount. The city had backup cable on hand, Bruton said, and laid about 3,000 feet of it into the water. Yesterday afternoon, the cable was energized shortly afterward. A lot of people come to Sitka for the scenery, the culture, and especially the fishing. Almost no one comes here just to run, but that may change. The current issue of the Canadian counterpart of Running Magazine has listed Sitka among 9 international destinations not to be missed by travelers looking for both adventure and fitness. Sitka has made this kind of list before. It's been recognized as a cultural destination by National Geographic, and from time to time gets some press for its amazing location, which rolls together much of what Alaskans like about this state into one compact package. But running? Really?
One of the ideas that I had with this piece was to give our readers a sense of the unsung running destinations, places that they may not have heard of or may not have considered, but are legitimate running holiday destinations.
That's Mihira Lakshman, the editor-in-chief of Canadian Running. Lakshman assigned the story to freelance writer Paola Lorigio and left the rest to her.
When she approached me with her ideas for what the destinations would be, and included Sitka, Alaska, I thought Alaska would be a great fit. And, you know, runners are a different breed. We tend to explore that unexplored territory and enjoy it.
Lorigio generated a story with 8 destinations besides Sitka that runners should put on their bucket lists. If my bucket ever gets big enough, I'll certainly be on my way to Bergen, Norway, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, Flinders Island, Australia, Moab, Utah, Moshi, Tanzania, Picton, Ontario, and Seoul, South Korea. In an email, Lorigio explained that what caught her eye first about Sitka was the fact that the Great Alaskan Marathon Cruise called here. To learn more, she called up Christine Horan, who for the last 18 years has organized Sitka's Alpine Adventure Run.
Horan says Larigio asked her what would sell Sitka to runners.
And the first thing out of my mouth was our amazing trail system that we have here, and along with the uniqueness of the town of Sitka, which I thought was an incredible fit.
The Alpine Adventure Run began as an Eagle Scout project by Horan's son in 1994 and has since evolved into one of Alaska's premier endurance events. The race is noteworthy for its climb from sea level to 2,100 feet, with most of that coming in the first mile and a half. The entire course is only a little over 7 miles, but runners get 2.5 hours to complete it, more than enough time for a typical recreational runner to finish a half marathon. But Horan says her racers wouldn't really be called typical.
A lot of our runners are not your traditional road runners. They are guys or gals out there that are wanting to be in shape for the hunting season. So we get a wide variety of runners.
A picture of one of this year's top finishers, Stephen McIntyre, a former Sitka High cross-country standout, accompanies the article in Canadian Running. It was taken by Don Cluding, the captain of Sitka's mountain rescue team, whom Horan cites as a critical element of the success of the event. With a blazing finish time of just over an hour, McIntyre is probably not among those trying to shed a few pounds for hunting season. Although a few hardcore runners from around Alaska come to Sitka just for the Alpine Adventure Race, it remains to be seen whether any of Canadian Running's 150,000 monthly readers will be lured in by the town's prominent placement with other world destinations. Editor-in-Chief Lakshman says it's really about giving his audience a way to think differently about their sport.
You know, we didn't want to simply approach it by saying, hey, you want to go to New York? Well, go run through Central Park, or go to London and try and do the London Marathon course or something like that. We wanted something that was a little bit, you know, off the beaten path, and a little bit that would give our readers something that they hadn't read before.
To see a panorama of the Alpine Adventure race course from the top of Harbor Mountain, visit our website, kcaw.org, a little later this morning. We also will have links to the article in Canadian Running Magazine and Don Cluding's picture. The city and borough of Juneau has filed an annexation petition with the state's local boundary commission seeking to incorporate almost 2,000 square miles of unorganized land south of the current Juneau boundary. The assembly voted 7-1 this week in favor of an ordinance authorizing the petition. The dissenting vote was cast by new member Jesse Keel, who questioned the timing of the move. Juneau is filing its annexation petition in response to the city of Petersburg, which wants to form a borough that includes the area in question. City and Borough of Juneau officials say the land most appropriately belongs with Juneau, pointing to model borough boundaries developed by the state more than 20 years ago that identified it for annexation to the capital city. During discussion on the matter, Keel asked City Attorney John Hartle why the sudden rush to annex it now. Here's Hartle's response.
I suppose it was the manager's and the mayor's political judgment that if Juneau didn't do something, then the local boundary commission would nearby default place those lands into the proposed Petersburg borough.
Keel also questioned city manager Rod Swope about what effect annexing the largely undeveloped and unpopulated area would have on Juneau's budget. Swope said right now it would be negligible.
At this point in time, costs are minimal to virtually non-existent. And until which time there is actually any kind of significant development in that area, there would not be cost to us.
Keel said he voted on the ordinance because he didn't think Petersburg's move to incorporate the land was sufficient reason to trigger annexation by Juneau.
If we had a very strong interest in these lands, we would have done better to be the first to file for them before the Boundary Commission, rather than to do so in response to one of our neighbors.
Last week, Juneau filed a responsive brief to Petersburg's petition to form a borough with the local Boundary Commission. The brief doesn't argue against the proposed borough, but says the disputed area has more administrative ties to Juneau than to Petersburg. Both communities will be able to make more arguments before that matter is settled, both in writing and at hearings before the Boundary Commission. Assemblyman Randy Wanamaker was recused from the discussion and vote on the annexation petition due to a conflict of interest. Wanamaker is on the board of directors for Juneau Native Corporation Gold Belt. The company owns 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay in the area being contested by Juneau and Petersburg. Gold Belt Vice President Derek Duncan reiterated the company's desire to have the land remain unincorporated for now, but he said it could make its borough preference known soon.
We will take into consideration how a borough government will affect the development of our economic opportunities at Hobart Bay. We will also continue to weigh what borough option is best politically for Gold Belt in the future.
Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska, owns about 20,000 acres of subsurface mining rights in the same area as Gold Belt's Hobart Bay land. But Sea Alaska officials say they'll follow Gold Belt's lead on expressing a borough preference. The entire contested area consists of everything from the southern city and borough of Juneau boundary as far south as Cape Fanshawe and east to the Canadian border. 53 civilian jobs at Joint Base Elmendorf, Richardson, and Anchorage are being eliminated. Air Force officials say the cuts are in addition to the elimination of 200 vacant positions that won't be filled. Military officials say a three-month hiring freeze and a high vacancy rate means that the impact of the cuts on the base's current workforce was reduced to 53. The cuts are in response to a Pentagon directive ordering that civilian manpower costs stay within fiscal year 2010 levels. The Air Force eliminated about 9,000 positions. Eielson Air Force Base south of the city will lose 45 civilian positions over the next 5 years, including 19 over the next year. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for locally windy conditions, snow this morning, then rain this afternoon. No snow accumulation here in Sitka, highs around 42. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 40 in the late morning. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 45. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.